Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Beautiful morning, another beautiful morning in paradise. We live in a pretty good place, don't we, Jerry? I'm glad you moved up here. Yeah. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take and introduce yourself, okay? Greetings. Hi, Diane. You're at the first service today.
Oh. That won't happen again.
Here. Starting to lose some of our snowbirds. Flying south for the winter. We're going to miss you. Nice to see you guys today, by the way. Yeah. A couple of announcements I want to highlight. One is flu shots Tuesday morning. If you haven't got one, come on over. Dick Grip's 90th birthday party next Saturday. Going to celebrate. Do a little dancing, huh? Sing happy birthday. And you can see the Bazaar Work Scoodle. Is that Scoodle? The Work Scoodle is on your... there's sign-up sheets in the fellowship hall, okay? So I think everybody knows what's going on there. I don't see too many visitors. But if you can help out on those at the Bazaar, please sign up so we know who's available. Today is World Hunger Sunday, so we've got a friend, Julie Swaggart, going to share a few minutes about... What country did you go to, Julie?
It's
going to be a surprise. It looks like Northeast Minneapolis. So you can surprise me, okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we gather on Sunday mornings to hear your word, to tell you we love you, to take some moments to think about our lives and who we are and how we're functioning in this world. Remind us today of how much you love us and care for us. Remind us today that we are forgiven. Remind us that we are your children and called to be servants. We remember those less fortunate in the world today. We have been blessed. But help us to remember those who have no food or no shelter, those who are suffering from typhoons or starvation or war. Help us to focus a little attention on that, Lord. But most of all, send your spirit to our house, this place called Bethesda. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. I'm going to ask Julie to share right away with us, would you please?
Well, good morning. My name is Julie Swaggart. I'm one of the newest members here at Bethesda. I have to stand close to my computer because my the remote isn't quite working. But I am by no means an expert on missions, world hunger, or anything like that. But I have had the opportunity to spend about 6 weeks in wanted to minister it so they could laugh. And they did. And then it shows some of the food when we were having lunch with the teachers. Lunch, when you get a teaching contract, if lunch is included, that is a big deal. That's the deal someone's making for you every day. No, because otherwise it's charcoal, heating the water, and so on. We did some work projects with agriculture. They had several cows that are pretty skinny, but this was the rainy time of year. First time I was there was dry time of year. These pictures are green and lush. We saw about the last rain they had. It's now pretty much a desert again. It's going to start raining. They get a brief amount of rain. But they have chickens, so the kids get some protein. Every few days they get some milk. I watched the 10 and 12-year-old boys milking the cows. I did not drink any of the milk. I thought that was a wise move. But those kids, nobody got sick. It wasn't OSHA approved by any means. But it seemed to work. Here's some of their crops. Zambia has some of the most fertile soil in the world. If you can tend it, if you can water some of it, they have deep wells where the water was perfect in the village. We could drink the water out of the tap. I never thought I'd say that going to Africa. But it's amazing what can be done. And when hunger is taken care of, great other things can occur. Some of the other work projects, we built tables that helped with, that put up a new water tower. I thought this, Danny, you know what? I'd like to get this couple up here sometime and we'll give you a little more insight. But they did a lot of things. We worked with the teachers, did teacher workshops. They're Southern Hemisphere, so they started the school year in January. So I was there right when the school year was starting. Here's a picture of all the teachers that we worked with. Again, we fed them well every day. They were so happy to learn about how can you teach better, what can we do for kids. So with this, you know, there's so many problems in the world. Everything is, you know, when you think of how many countries, it's just awful, including here. I mean, why don't you just stay home and help people here? And you can. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to really learn about the world, helping and traveling to a third world country is very, very insightful. But this is one of my
Thank you, Julie. World Hunger Sunday. If you've brought your boxes, the table is out there. Please try and make the world a better place. Let's open our worship then by singing our opening hymn on Eagle's Wings, 787. Rise. Let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness in life. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking.
The sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples of earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
First reading today is from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Using imaginary form from Scripture and from Jewish worship practices, Jesus is presented as the great high priest who was obedient to God's saving plan. Through his suffering and death, he has become the source of eternal salvation. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of the Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The psalm today is Psalm 91. Please read responsibly. Because you have made the Lord your God your refuge and the Most High your habitation,
no evil will befall you, nor shall oppression come near your dwelling.
For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. You will tread upon the lion, cub, and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
They will call me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them.
With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
You have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation. Please rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. A gospel lesson for this 21st Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 10th chapter of St. Mark. On the way to Jerusalem, the disciples ask Jesus to grant them seats of honor. Jesus responds by announcing that he and his followers will rule through self-giving service. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I'm baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 669. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.
Saints of God.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have just before our gospel lesson today in chapter 10 of Mark, Jesus telling his disciples about his impending death. He says, "We're going to go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Jesus might as well have been speaking a foreign language to these disciples because they didn't seem to get it. James and John are there. Jesus predicts his death. They don't seem to be concerned about the death at all. What they're concerned about is they're looking after their own selfish interests. Who's going to get the best place in heaven? So they approach Jesus privately. It tells you something right there. If they were approaching about something high and noble, they would have done so in front of the other disciples. But this is a different kind of request. They want, "Teacher, we want you to do something we ask." Yeah, my grandkid just said that to me. "Pops, I want you to do something I ask." Oh, red flags are all over the place. Anyway, what do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus asked the disciples. That's what I asked my grandson. And the disciples replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other sit at your left hand in glory." They're looking for the places of power, the highest honors, the places of authority. Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other sit at your left. Matthew 20, by the way, this is Mark. Matthew 20 has James and John's mother talking to Jesus, asking for the same thing. And her name was Salome. Some scholars believe that she was a sister to Jesus' mother, so that Salome would have been Jesus' aunt, and John and James might have been Jesus' cousins, first cousins. I think in politics they call that nepotism. Since we're related, why don't we get better, better jobs? Or in business, I suppose it happens too. James and John wanted to get ahead. They wanted the best seats in heaven. They weren't simply asking Jesus to be chummy with them or sit close to him. This wasn't a request for a relationship. This was a request for power. They wanted to be at the top of the pecking order. Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized in the baptism I'm baptized with?" Jesus wanted them to understand that the kingdom of God didn't come according to family preferences or social connections. There's a cost to sit at his table. To ask for a place of honor in his kingdom is a request to share in the suffering, Jesus tells them. Paul in Romans 8 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" And then Jesus looks at him and says, "You're going to do this. You're going to drink the cup I drink. You're going to be baptized. But to sit at the right hand or the left hand is not for me to grant in the next kingdom. Those have been chosen already." Jesus explains that the positions of honor in the kingdom weren't his to give. Maybe today, if you look at the people in our lifetimes, you might have Mother Teresa or Dr. King sitting there. Maybe there'd be people unknown to us. In my lifetime, it might be one of the janitors I had in high school. It was the greatest servant of all. Who knows? Anyway, there aren't places reserved. All I know is if you sacrifice, if you serve, everyone's going to be invited to the banquet table, huh? So now, in this lesson, it's interesting to see what happens next. The other 10 disciples hear it. They become indignant with James and John. Some people think that the other 10 were jealous. They had asked Jesus first. They were mad at them for the same sin that they themselves were committing. Jesus gets a hold of the whole thing and has them sit down and says, "Whoever wants to be great among you have to be servant of all. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. But the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." If you want a little peace in your heart and joy in your soul, Jesus says, service is the way to do it. If you want to make the world a better place, like Jimmy Carter, service is the way to do it. Julie reminded us today how blessed we are. I mean, we've got clean water. We take that for granted. They've got clean water too, thank goodness. But we've got good hospitals. We don't have millions of kids running around with AIDS anymore. It's because I don't know why it is, except that our country has been blessed. The place we live here in Malmo, we've been blessed. And when you look at Jesus' teachings, it's service that's at the heart of all of Jesus' teachings. His incarnation, God becoming man, was probably the most powerful demonstration of this truth ever, that he would, the creator of the universe, would lower himself to become like you and me. And then to live a life of service. Jesus would say, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And at his Last Supper, his washing his disciples' feet, the creator of the universe washing the disciples' feet is a supreme example of what he's calling us to be, servants. I mean, he's humble, he's lowly. It's not to be elevated, not to take the high place. Jesus demonstrates greatness in his immaculate service to humanity. And that's what Christ is asking us to do, to be servants. When you see that world hunger table out there, remember how blessed we are. And one of the things we can do is support our World Hunger Program. The overhead for that World Hunger Program is so little. We've got missionaries in place. We've got programs in place. We've got locals in place. It's all in place. Whatever you give goes to the needs. The church, the Lutheran Church, does a tremendous job. I was a missionary for 7 years. I've seen it up close and personal. Julie, seen it up close and personal. You want to take a bunch of us over there?
Absolutely.
Anyone want to go? Let's have some recruiting. Let's do that. We just finished a book in the Romeos called The Jesus Style, and one of the sections was on servants. The author, Irwin, says this. He says, a servant's job is to do all he can to make life better for others, to free them to be everything they can be. A servant's first interest is not in himself, but others. And that's what Jimmy Carter said up there. Mother Teresa was once accused or challenged about the long-term effect of her humanitarian ministry in the streets of Calcutta. If you don't remember, she would pick people who were dying, laying in the streets of Calcutta, and bring them and clean them up and feed them. And once someone criticized her, why give people fish to eat instead of teaching them how to fish? And without even any hesitation, she says, but my people can't even stand. They're sick, they're crippled, they're demented. When I give them fish to eat and they can stand, then I'll turn them over to you and you can put a fishing rod in their hands. She was quick to emphasize, though, that you need to give them more than fish. Equally important was that which comes from the heart. You've got to love them and bring joy to their lives. And that's one thing I saw in your pictures was these kids smiling. And they weren't emaciated like you see in some of those ads on TV. These are happy, loving, caring people. And the Church of God has brought them peace. I'm glad to hear that Zambia is a Christian nation, too. One last story. I was going through 186 stations or whatever they have a few weeks ago and caught Schindler's List on there, and I had avoided Schindler's List and avoided it. It chronicled the heroic efforts of a German industrialist named Oskar Schindler. Because of his unselfish activities, over 1,000 Jews on the train to Auschwitz were saved. Auschwitz, of course, was one of the gas chambers in World War II. After Schindler found out what was happening at Auschwitz, he began a systematic effort to save as many Jews as he could. For money, he could buy Jews to work in his factory. And he bought as many Jews as he could. And on the same hand, the factory was making ammunition. He deliberately sabotaged the ammunition that was produced in his factory. He entered the war financially wealthy. By the time the war ended, he was basically financially bankrupt. So when the Germans surrendered, Schindler met with his workers and declared that at midnight they were all free to go, over 1,000 of them. The most emotional scene of the film for me was when Schindler said goodbye to the financial manager of his plant. He was a Jewish fellow. He was a good and trusted friend. And as they embraced, Schindler sobs and says, "I could have done more." And he looked at his automobile and asked, "Why did I save this automobile? I could have bought 10 Jews with this." And then he had a little bobble. He says, "I could have traded in this. Why did I save this? I would have saved another Jewish person. Why didn't I do more?" Schindler had a heart for serving and saving others. That's what true greatness is all about. At the end of the movie, many Jews saved by Oskar Schindler are shown placing rocks on his burial marker in the ground. I was wondering what that is, but it's a Jewish tradition. The stones symbolize that the memory of this man would never be blown away, and so they would place that stone on his gravesite. No act of service to Christ and to those whom Christ loves will be blown away by the wind. No act of service that you and I do will ever be forgotten by the Creator of the universe. And so Jesus asked James and John, "Can you drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" And a few sentences later, he says, "You will drink the cup I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I have. But to sit at the right hand or the left is not for me to say." This prophecy would come true, by the way. Tradition tells us that James was probably the first disciple to be martyred. And many scholars, and Valerie, believe that John was the last disciple to be martyred. Right, Val? She and I have a theological argument going on. Anyway, I guess they didn't know what they were asking for when they wanted to be at the right and the left. But they didn't turn back. And thank God they didn't turn back. They played a crucial role in continuing Christ's work. You and I can play a crucial role in being the hand of God in a hurting world. And when we get to heaven, we might not sit on the right hand or the left hand, but you and I will have a place too as we continue to serve and love and care and bring joy. When we seek Christ's goodness through service, we know that that gift is promised to us. So something for us to think about on a World Hunger Sunday. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Let's join in singing our hymn number 708. join in the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Made alive with God in Christ, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Oh God, we give thanks for this community, for the church around the world, for all those who attend to your people. May the church continue to grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
James and John assured Jesus that they were willing to drink the cup he drank and be baptized with his baptism. We pray, O God, that we too will be able to bear whatever suffering is required to be your disciples, and that we always remember we are here not to be served, but to serve. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Compassionate God, too many in our world suffer greatly from hunger, illness, homelessness. We know you are with them. Help us to be with them too through advocacy, solidarity, and direct connection. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Merciful God, so many of your children experience violence and despair. Too many live in war zones, in places far from here, but also quite often in our own backyards. We pray that we can be instruments of your peace. May our commitment to love and justice for each person provide a balm for the wounds of hatred and fear. In Jesus' name we pray. We give thanks, O God, for your gift of the earth, for its water, its soil, its animals, insects, and birds. We ask forgiveness for the many ways we ignore the preciousness of this gift. Give us the necessary strength to live in right relationship with the earth and its offerings. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Your presence, God, is often found on the margins with those whom the world has discarded. Remind us to continue to seek you there, to immerse ourselves in the edges, where hope and faith in you are most strong. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, hear our prayer. Creator God, you formed us from ashes and breathed life into our bodies. Let us always be mindful of the gift of life and remain grateful for the ways you walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God, remembering your promise of mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We gather at the table of our Lord, ever mindful of his presence in our lives and in the life of this world. At Jesus' Last Supper, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you'd prefer grape juice, we have that offered. Today we will use intinction, so dip into the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, we also have bread for you. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen. May the God of love, who loves us freely, strengthen us in our love for others. May Jesus Christ, who is the true bread from heaven, grant us grace to speak out for those who have no voice. May the Spirit, who dwells in us, empower us to go out into the world to work for change, bringing God's justice and hope to all.
Amen.
Go in peace, remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is What a Wondrous Love Is This.